Welcome to the My Money Podcast number 100 from helpmetosave.com. I'm Karen Bryan, the editor of the Help Me to Save website, where you'll find tips to help you save money, spend less, and enjoy life. In this edition of the My Money Podcast, I'll discuss four recent articles from the Help Me to Save website. They are why it could be a good idea to keep old current accounts open, looking at three mobile SIM-only plans, asking, could you be better off unemployed than in a 0 hours contract job? And finally, a review of the Premier Inn Edinburgh Leith waterfront. So starting off with why it can be a good idea to keep old current accounts open. Many years ago, I opened a nationwide Flex current account to take advantage of the then fee-free overseas transactions and ATM withdrawals. Once Nationwide withdrew that perk, I stopped using that account. I wasn't able to close it online, and as we don't have a Nationwide branch in Berwick-upon-Tweed, the account lay dormant. Nationwide didn't have any competitive saving accounts for a while, so the Flex account was my only Nationwide account for some years. However, I was later able to benefit from holding the Nationwide Flex current account, as this qualified me as a continuous member of the Building Society for more than 15 years, so I was then able to access the highest rate of tiered interest on the Nationwide Loyalty Saver. I recently read that you could receive a £125 Marks & Spencer voucher if you opened a new Marks & Spencer current account using the link on the Money Saving Expert website and then went on to use the M&S account switch service. That old Nationwide Flex current account was ideal to use as the account from which to switch. As I'm happy using a Halifax Reward current account and a Santander 123 current account as my main current accounts, I didn't want to switch from either of them. However, if you're going for a switching incentive, you need to check the terms and conditions, as some, for example Clydesdale Bank, require you to switch an account which has at least two live direct debits, and my Nationwide account wouldn't have qualified. So maybe it is a good idea to hold on to an old current account as long as it doesn't have any fees or charges. So now looking at three mobile SIM-only plans which offer double the tethering limit of contracts. I find that tethering, where you create a personal Wi-Fi spot using your mobile phone and then you can connect your other devices to Wi-Fi, it could be a camera, tablet, netbook, whatever. It's really handy because I find I can never rely on decent Wi-Fi when I'm staying in a hotel or an apartment. Tethering's handy for my netbook because then I've got a bigger keyboard, I find typing on my phone, although I've got a phablet with a big screen, it's still difficult. I prefer to type on my netbook. If I want to upload photos from my camera, then I can connect to Flickr through tethering. Unfortunately, I couldn't find a plan which allowed unlimited tethering. Neither Three Mobile's all-you-can-eat data £15 add-on or Giffgaff's £18 unlimited internet goodie bag allowed tethering. One of the best options for tethering appears to be a Three Mobile SIM-only plan. New, all-you-can-eat SIM-only plans offer a monthly limit of 4 GB of data for tethering. So you can have unlimited data when you're doing things on your phone, but once you set up this personal Wi-Fi hotspot, the monthly limit is 4 GB. Whereas, if you opt for a new all-you-can-eat data 3 mobile monthly phone contract, you only get 2 GB of data for tethering per month. You get that unlimited data, but only from your phone, not if you do tethering. Now, I can only assume that 3 mobile have created this differentiation in order to absorb some of the cost of the handsets, either included free or below normal retail price with new phone contracts. So when you're buying and want a new phone, it can be cheaper to buy the phone as a pay-as-you-go phone, preferably unlocked, and buy a SIM to put in it rather than going for a contract. I've certainly found that when I recently upgraded my phone to a Sony Xperia Z Ultra, it was cheaper to pay £240 for the phone and then get a SIM-only plan than to buy it on a 24-month contract. I would have paid quite a lot more. Now, moving on to, could you be better off unemployed than a 0 hours contract? Well, according to the latest findings of the Disposable Income Index by Scottish Friendly, people who are unemployed have a higher average disposable income, that's money left over after essentials have been paid for, than 0 hours contract workers who have no guarantee of working hours, often with no sick or holiday pay. The UK national average monthly disposable income of a working age person is £278. For an unemployed person, it's £174, but for a 0 hours contract worker, it's only £130. Now, that's not much of an incentive to go out to work if you actually have less disposable income left. And it must be impossible to plan your life and manage a budget if you don't know when you'll be called in to work and what your monthly income will be. It'd be hard enough to live comfortably even when guaranteed full-time hours paid at the minimum wage, which currently stands at £6.50 an hour for workers aged 21 plus. So I really do think that work should pay. You should be better off when you're working. One solution is to put the minimum wage up, certainly up to living wage levels, which are quite a bit higher, because I think if you work full time, you should have more disposable income left than somebody who's unemployed. And the final article I'll discuss is my review of the Premier Inn Edinburgh Leith Waterfront. Now, I stayed there last month on a Thursday night. The room cost £29 on the non-refundable rate booked around 3 months before my stay. Apart from London, there do seem to be quite a few £29 rooms on the Premier Inn site during promotions, off-peak, low season, whatever. Now, I do like this location of a hotel in Edinburgh. It's down at New Haven Harbour, which is a couple of miles from the city centre, but it's a good option if you have a car, as there's plenty of free parking and there's a bus stop with a regular service to the city centre just outside the hotel. There's a Brewer's Fair next door, where they do quite a lot of reasonable offers for food. And if you want the budget option, i.e. eating your breakfast or whatever in your room, there's an Asda a few minute walk away where you can stock up on provisions. Now, I was very happy with my room there. I requested a sea view room looking out on the Forth Estuary. And when I arrived, yes, I had a lovely room on the top floor. And I was able to move the little table at the bedside and one of the chairs over and sit on my netbook or have a cup of tea and coffee with the lovely view out to New Haven Harbour. Now, the hotel's been recently refurbished. Everything certainly looked very pristine, and the bed was comfy, and there was a great big large TV screen that I watched it. So I would recommend the Premier Inn Edinburgh Leith Waterfront, especially if you can find a £29 room there. Yeah, it's not in the centre of the action, but there's quite a lot going on in Leith. It's not that far to walk along to Leith, to the bars, clubs, so there's the ocean terminal with the Royal Yacht Britannia, cinema, various shops, cafes and things with views. So I think it's a good location, particularly if you have a car. So that's all that I'm going to be talking about in this, the 100th podcast from Help Me to Save. You can sign up to receive all our podcasts on iTunes. And if you want to read the articles in full, come to the site at www.helpmetosave.com. So thanks very much for listening, and do join us again soon. Goodbye.